And now it's over to the news desk, Charles McKelvey. But first, we're going to take a look at today's headlines.
Cuba and Belarus ratify their strong political and friendship ties.
Bolivian social movements mobilize to defend vote in favor of Evo Morales.
Cuban foreign minister arrives in Baku for the Non-Aligned Movement Summit ministerial meeting.
Protests against Chilean government continue throughout the country. Now for the news in detail.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel and the President of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, in a meeting on Wednesday in that nation's capital, confirmed the good relations between the two countries and affirmed their commitment to strengthen political and economic ties. Lukashenko stressed that the history of the relations between Belarus and Cuba has a very solid base, and the two nations will continue with the fulfillment of their bilateral agreements. Shortly after a welcoming ceremony in which, together with his Cuban counterpart, they greeted the delegations of the two nations, the Belarusian head of state reaffirmed that Cuba has in his country a faithful and trustworthy friend. Lukashenko referred to the transformations that have taken place in recent years on the island and wished the revolutionary and heroic Cuba many successes. Miguel Díaz-Canel considered that his visit is a continuation of the one that he made 3 years ago in his capacity as vice president, and affirmed that Belarus was one of the first countries visited by him after his election as head of state, a symbol of the priority Cuba gives to this relationship. The Cuban president expressed that he was the bearer of a warm and cordial greeting from Raúl Castro to Lukashenko. Upon his arrival in Minsk on Tuesday, Díaz-Canel and his delegation visited the Great Stone Industrial Park, a Chinese-Belarusian cooperation project created in 2012. They also visited the Catholic Church, St. Simeon and St. Helen, also known as Red Church, the Orthodox Church of the Holy Spirit, and Independence Square, where the government palace and parliament are located.
In Bolivia, right-wing protesters have launched numerous violent attacks across the country as electoral results indicated that incumbent President Evo Morales had won a first-round victory. Attacks included the burning of vote-counting centers and assaulting indigenous supporters of Evo Morales. In response, social movements have called for a state of emergency and a mobilization of workers in the streets to defend the vote. The violence followed a call by opposition candidate Carlos Mesa for his supporters to take to the streets and not recognize the results being announced by electoral authorities in Bolivia. The first such action was the city of Sucre, an opposition stronghold, where rioters set fire to the regional electoral authority. Elsewhere in the country, government buildings were attacked in Tarija, Oruro, and the campaign headquarters of Evo Morales' party was vandalized. CONALCAM, a coalition of indigenous groups and worker unions that are affiliated to Morales' movement towards socialism, held a press conference where they called for mobilization in the streets to defend democracy. Juan Carlos Guarachi, leader of the Bolivian Labor Union Federation, the COB, said, "We declare that we are in a state of emergency and denounce the oligarchic and privatizing interests that hide behind these violent actions."
Cuba's foreign minister, Bruno Rodriguez, has arrived in Baku to attend the ministerial meeting before the 18th summit of the Non-Aligned Movement, to be held in the capital of Azerbaijan on the 25th and 26th of October. As is the established practice, the summit of heads of state and government will be preceded by a ministerial meeting and a preparatory meeting of senior officials. The head of Cuban diplomacy confirmed on Twitter Cuba's commitment to the Non-Aligned Movement as a mechanism for political agreement among the countries of the South. Cuba, the only Latin American founding country of the Non-Aligned Movement, will be received with solidarity by the member nations of the movement in the face of the tightening of the economic and commercial blockade imposed by the U.S. government for almost six decades. As in previous meetings, Cuba will defend the self-determination of peoples, the Palestinian cause, and the decolonization of Puerto Rico, among other demands. At the Baku meeting, Venezuela will pass the presidency of the movement to Azerbaijan, which will chair it for a period of 3 years until 2022. The Non-Aligned Movement was born in Belgrade, Yugoslavia in 1961 with 23 member countries. It currently has 120 member nations and 15 observer states. It demands a new international world order, more just to the nations of the Third World. Cuba has hosted two Non-Aligned Movement summits, the 6th summit in 1979 and the 14th summit in 2006.
As protests continue through Chile, the National Institute of Human Rights, the NHRI, presented the latest statistics of detainees and injured since the social protests began on October the 17th. According to its report, there have been more than 5,400 arrests and 84 people wounded by gunfire. Chilean authorities have reported that 21 people have been killed since the start of the protests. The NHRI also announced that there have been several cases of sexual abuse and excessive use of force during detentions. The Human Rights Institute has filed legal charges of violence against 8 military police and soldiers. United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, has finally broken her silence and called for an independent investigation into the deaths that have occurred during violent protests. She also mentioned what she called disturbing allegations of excessive use of military force. This Wednesday morning, a 48-hour general strike began, declared by Chilean trade unions and student groups, effectively shutting down the country. And this is Radio Vancouver's English language broadcast from our studios here in downtown Havana. Back now to the news, Charles McKelvey.
On the same day that the U.S. administration put into effect new measures that further tightened the economic blockade against the island, Cuba ratified its decision to continue collaborating with Venezuela because the solidarity of our peoples is above the provocations of the empire. Vice Minister of Foreign Trade and Foreign Investment of the Republic of Cuba, Roberto Lopez Hernandez, reiterated this view in Caracas at a meeting to analyze the progress of the bilateral comprehensive cooperation agreement. The meeting also will set the goals for 2020 with projections of social benefit that face obstacles generated by the interference and obstinacy of the Trump administration and its regional lackeys. Lopez Hernandez said that the encounter demonstrates Cuba's determined response to the empire's cynical threats and sanctions, which accuse Cuba of supporting the Bolivarian Revolution, but they will have to wipe us off the map if they want us to stop collaborating with this sister nation and its constitutional government. Ramon Gordils, the Vice Minister of Economic Cooperation of the Ministry of People's Power for Foreign Affairs of Venezuela, remarked that with a great spirit of resistance, Venezuela and Cuba continue their agenda of integration, cooperation, and development, in spite of the great economic difficulties in both countries. Gordils called this resistance an example for the peoples of our America, and he referred to the international situation marked by the imposition of sanctions and illegal coercive unilateral measures in breach of international law implemented against Cuba, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Iran, and the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
More than 100 Cuban organizations demanded in Havana on Tuesday the end of the economic, commercial, and financial blockade imposed on Cuba by the United States. Convened by the United Nations Cuban Association, the ACNU, the organizations expressed their demand at the 16th Civil Society Forum that brought together social organizations from different sectors, religious institutions, and had the support of regional and international actors and entities. Fermín Quiñones, president of the United Nations Cuban Association, said the meeting rejected the escalation of the U.S. blockade, a hostile measure that imposed a constant limit to development in Cuba. He affirmed that the forum was the voice of support for the presentation in November of Cuba-sponsored resolution at the U.N. General Assembly demanding the elimination of the blockade.
A number of international observers that are in La Paz monitoring Bolivia's general elections have praised the legitimacy and transparency of the process, which comes in contrast to proclamations by the U.S.-backed opposition leaders who have already made declarations questioning the results. One of the leading observers, Rixi Moncada, who is president of the Electoral Court in Honduras, praised the level of the independent monitoring that took place. The vote count is open to all who want to see it. We could see that noting down each of the votes from each ballot paper. Another observer, Manu Peneña, a Spanish lawyer in the European Parliament, also praised the legitimacy of Bolivia's electoral process. In Spain, ballots are counted and assigned very quickly. However, in Bolivia, each ballot paper is held and shown to all, so there cannot be any manipulation. The vote is then recorded publicly on a board for all to see. The count takes a very long time, but we can see that it's a positive thing because it stops any possibility of fraud. Everything has taken place with total normality and regularity, said Sandra Pereira, another European Union lawmaker from Portugal, who said she observed a normal and fair process.
And once again, our headlines for today.
Cuba and Belarus ratify their strong political and friendship ties.
Bolivian social movements mobilize to defend vote in favor of Evo Morales.
Cuban foreign minister arrives in Baku for the Non-Aligned Movement Summit ministerial meeting.
Protests against Chilean government continue throughout the country.